welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned in again this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 7. Last time we left off at verse number 18. Our Lord Jesus has given his Sermon on the Plain, or a repeat of the Sermon on the Mount, and whether it's the same or a different setting, the message is clear. Those that hear the sayings and the words of the Lord to bring them to their lives, to follow them, is like a man that's built his house upon a rock, and that rock is the Lord Jesus. Those that do not are as a man that builds his house upon the sand, and he says that the ruin of that house indeed will be great. Our Lord has healed the centurion's servant. So great faith the Lord had not found in Israel. This Gentile gave the testimony that I'm a man under authority. I understand how authority works, Lord. All you've got to do is say the word and my servant will be healed. The Lord healed that man. And then our Lord, coming into the city of Nain, sees this widow whose only son had died. They're carrying the man out to bury him. And our Lord shows his marvelous, miraculous power, and that he takes this man who's laying on the bier, being taken out to be buried. He lays his hand upon him and brings him back to life. We see here in the end of this segment that we looked at last time in verse number 17, that our Lord's fame went throughout all the region round about. It could not be kept down. Yet our Lord is not concerned about the fame. He's not really interested in the fame. It's just something that's come about. Our Lord's desire and design is that men will hear his word. Our Lord has done these miracles to show us indeed that he has the power to save sinners, to forgive sins of sinners. But our Lord's desire and our Lord's working and our Lord's moving and working with his spirit is that men hear and believe the good word of God. In verse number 18 of Luke 7, we see, "And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" And so John's disciples tell him about these things that Jesus is doing. And at this time when John sends these disciples, he's in prison. He's been taken captive by Herod. And Brother John sends two of his disciples to Jesus and saying, "Are you the one? Are you he that should come?" We see even our brother, he's either wanting confirmation to be sure, not understanding maybe about why he has been imprisoned. He has stood against Herod, Herod seeking and taking his brother's wife to wed for his own wife. And John has stood against that. And so we see John in prison. Maybe he doesn't understand why he's in prison. We just don't know. Nevertheless, John sends unto Jesus and says, "Are you the one?" Maybe John understands that his life is short and he's got this calling. He's got this responsibility, this stewardship given to him by the Lord. And he wants to make sure that he's filled it. And regarding his disciples, are you the one or should we look for another? How should I direct my disciples? Remember John, when he saw Jesus and baptized Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He was certainly convinced at that time. And so John sends to Jesus inquiring, "Are thou he that should come?" Verse number 19. "Or look we for another?" Are you the one? Or should we look for someone else? When the men were come unto him, they said, "John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of the evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, "Go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, To the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And so the Lord sends them with a clear message. Look at the things being done, fellas. Go tell John what you see that is being done. Tell him that the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Our Lord saves that for the last, because that is the mission. That is the purpose. That is the calling, is that the gospel of Jesus would be preached unto the poor, those without spirit, those without help, those with sin weighted down upon them, the need of salvation of sinners, the gospel of Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection is preached unto them. And the Lord Jesus says, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Maybe the way of the Lord was the way of the Lord indeed was offense to the religious elite of the day. They just couldn't take the way that Jesus was. They couldn't take the plainness of the Lord. And then they were greatly offended that Jesus, having never been to their schools, was able so greatly expound upon the Word of God. As it says, we see in the Gospels, our Lord taught with authority and not as the scribes. The scribes would teach in that they would say, God says this, or the Word of God says this, or some commentator says that this is what this means and that what God is getting at. When Jesus teaches, he says, I say unto you. He is the definitive end, the beginning and the end of the truth and the Word of God. He is the Word. And he says, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. We ask this question to you. Are you offended in Christ? Our Lord Jesus makes it very clear that either you're for him or against him. There's no middle ground regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no middle threshold that one can be at looking at both directions. We may feel that we can be that way. We can maybe feel that we can have one foot in the world and one foot toward our Lord Jesus Christ, but it is not that way. He that is not for me is against me, the Lord Jesus Christ says. Are you offended in Christ? Are you offended that you need to be told that you are a sinner deserving of hell and on your way there for eternity if you do not repent of your sins before God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? To natural man, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ indeed is a great offense. What? I need a Savior? What? My sins are so bad that I'm condemned to an eternity in hell on the lake of fire? Yes, sinner, that is the message. Listen, God would not have sent a Savior, the Savior, if men did not need a Savior. The very coming, the very existence of Jesus in the flesh is a testimony to us that we are lost, undone, and condemned in trespasses and sins. We are far from God, a great chasm between us and our Creator, and a chasm that we cannot even think to begin to bridge, that we cannot even think to begin to cross. It takes our Lord Jesus Christ and the way that he is made. Our Lord makes it clear in John chapter 3, no man of his own accord has ascended unto heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. It is our Lord Jesus Christ that has made a way. And our Lord said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. The sinner that has repented of their sins and trusted in Christ, been saved by him, oh, they rejoice in the Lord. They're not offended in him. They're thankful for him. They love him. We love him. We rejoice because of him. We look on at our sin and what it did to our Lord, and it's a terrible, terrible thing what the sins of his people has done to our Savior and our Lord. It wasn't right. It wasn't fair. It wasn't just by any means. Yet he was willing to endure those things and suffer those things and pay that debt for a sinner like me, a sinner like you, to be saved. And we rejoice in him that such a wondrous, wonderful gift of the pouring out of his life, his soul, his blood, his body unto death for us, for his children, for his people, for those that believe in him, we rejoice in him, and by no means are we offended in our Lord. Are you offended in Him? Do the things about the Lord and His Word and His truth, do they offend you? Do they trouble you? Is there part of the Word of God that is read upon and it offends you? Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And so that's the message that our Lord tells these brethren to go back and take unto John. And when the messengers, verse 24 of John, were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So our Lord, as these disciples of John are sent away, he begins to talk to them about Brother John the Baptist. He said, what'd you go out in the wilderness? And see, when they went out into the wilderness, John didn't come to the cities. John didn't come to the cities, but he was out in the wilderness preaching. That's very interesting. He was out in the wilderness preaching and baptizing in the River Jordan. Out there away, if you will, from civilization, out there in the wilderness in the countryside, the people came to hear the message and preaching of John. But look at this. Our Lord Jesus came to the cities, and he traversed the highways and byways, and he brought the gospel unto the cities of Judea and Samaria and Galilee. John was out there in the wilderness and preached. That was his calling, and that's what he did. And our Lord asked, he said, did you go out there to see a reed shaken with the wind? Did you go out there to see something vain and hollow? Something rattling on the inside? Did you go out there to see a man that was all dried up and withered away? What did you go out there to see? Did you go out there to see something weak? But what went ye out for to see, says in verse 25, a man clothed in soft raiment like your own religious leaders today? What did you go out to see? Well, I see that our time is past for now. May our Lord bless you with the word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.